Good morning and welcome this morning to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren, Pastor Dennis. And just I want to share before we come into our time of worship, share some announcements with you. First of all, prayer concerns for this week. We're praying for those on page 38 in the church directory. And we're praying for the White Oak Church, and East Fairview Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Also, keep in your prayers Dale and Joanne Houts, Katrina Wagner, Grace Ziegler, all who have had positive COVID. And Grace is actually still in the Good Samaritan Hospital and recovering, but very, very weak. For parents, there's no children's church today, but I'll have something that I'll give to the kids during our story time together today that will help them get through the rest of the church this morning. Okay. Also, just reminders from the bulletin, directory updates, poinsettia orders are due today. Today's the last day. And also, just some updates for a few things here. The Holiday Bazaar was held yesterday and was a tremendous success. The attendance was great, and every pumpkin roll, apple dumpling sandwich, and quart of homemade soup was sold. And with the exception, actually revising this one, anything that was left is on the table in the gathering place, which isn't too much. Some poinsettias and some jars of jam, and that's about it, I think. Yeah. Women's Fellowship would like to thank everyone that helped out by cooking, baking, donating items for the White Elephant tables, volunteering during the event, and or helping in any other way to make this annual event a success. And last Sunday, I mentioned that the Reach School was also participating in Operation Christmas Child. This announcement from the school, the final count for our Operation Christmas Child shoebox project with the Reach School was 153 shoeboxes donated. This total included 70 virtual boxes and 23 actual boxes, plus the 60 boxes from the Reach Christian School. We received the following email from Zach Weaver, the principal of the school. He says, "Thanks so much for making us aware of this project. It was so neat to see my students focus on reaching their goal, and much of the funds came from their personal piggy banks. Fun fact, one of the incentives for reaching their goal was allowing the eighth grade boys to smash a pie in my face." And Zach was kind enough to send some pictures of the end result of that.
Good morning, and thank you, Bell Choir. That was beautiful. Now let us rise, if you're able, for this morning's call to worship. From the Spirit who was the rock, who is, and the strong one who is yet to come, grace and peace to you. We come before God with joy and thanks. Let us worship God. Now let us join in singing, Come Ye Thankful People, which is found on page 568 in the Brown Hymnal. Please join me in praying the prayer of invocation. With thankful hearts, we come this day to be reminded of our grandest hope that you, O Christ, are the one who was and who is yet to come. Open our hearts to the comfort, the challenge, and the mystery of this good news. In your name we pray. Amen. You may now be seated, and we'll hear from the senior choir.
to join in. So when I turn around like this, that's your cue to start singing. The words will be up on the screen. The last line of the choir finishes it. Okay.
Oh.
Thank you, senior choir. The scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11, and this passage was given to the Israelites who were going into the Promised Land. It was giving them instructions regarding the giving of their tithes and offerings in thanksgiving for all the bounty the Lord had given them. May the Lord give his blessing on the reading of this word, of his word. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that you, the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house." Let us now bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Loving Father, with gratitude for all the blessings you have poured into our lives, we offer our gifts that they may be used to build your kingdom and in helping those in need. Bless the gifts and those that have given them, that they may truly be a blessing in your holy name. We also ask your blessing on all those in this congregation and those of our loved ones that need your healing touch today, and help each and every one of us this week that we don't get caught up in our own plans for the holiday, that we forget the reason we gather together, to be mindful of our blessings and be truly thankful. We also pray for comfort for those that may be lonely this holiday, and also those who are missing loved ones that have gone on before us. Help us, Father, that we may be a shining light to those who need a light to guide them. And forgive us for all the many times we fail you. We ask this all in the precious Savior's name. Amen. Now, let us rise, if you're able, as we sing "We Plow the Fields and Scatter" on page 565 in the Brown Hymnal.
Thank you.
may be seated. And now will the children come front, and for Pastor Dennis is having a message for you.
How's everybody this morning? Good? Yeah. I was thinking this week about what I should talk to you about today. And, you know, this was kind of an easy one because there's a special day coming up this week, right? What's the special day, Kendall? And do you know?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, right. Okay. And Isaiah knew that too, and I'm sure Abby knew that too. It's Thanksgiving. And I don't know, do you get together with your family and have turkey and stuffing and all those good things? Yeah. Yeah, we do too. Well, I found online, let me get it out here, a word search puzzle. Okay. And I don't know if you like word search puzzles or not. Kendall, and I'm going to give you one for Carter too. Okay. So I know he's not feeling well, and maybe Carter can help you do that. You can do it together with him, okay? But on the top of it, it says it's a Thanksgiving top 10 list. And I thought about, well, now if I was to put together a Thanksgiving top 10 list, it might sound a lot like the words that are in this word search puzzle. So I put together my list, and this is my list, and I'm going to start with number 10. I'm going to work my way down to number 1, or up to number 1, I should say. So number 10 on my list is my home. I'm thankful for my home. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that don't have a home, homeless people. So I'm thankful for my home. And I'm thankful, number 9, for food. You know, we always have plenty of food in our house. Sometimes we open the cabinet and there's no room in the pantry closet. So we always have plenty of food in our house. And, you know, some people don't have food. And that's why we have that sharing cupboard here at our church for the people that don't have food. And number 8, I'm thankful for clothing. There's always clothes in my closet to put on each day. And many people in the world, they only have the clothes that they're wearing at the time. And so thinking about those people, sometimes we will go through our closets and our drawers, and we'll periodically take used clothing to places like Jubilee Ministries or Blue Mountain Ministries. And number 7, I'm thankful for my health. Thankful that I have good health. You know, I shared earlier this morning, there's some people in our church right now that are having some health issues with COVID, the Houtses and Grace Ziegler and some others, Katrina, that we think about too today. So number 6 on my list, I'm thankful to live in a country where we have great freedoms, and that's not true in every country. In fact, there are some countries in the world where you could be put in prison for even talking about Jesus. So I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can gather together on Sunday mornings like this. Number 5 on my list is teachers. I'm thankful for the teachers that I had in school who taught me what I needed to know to have a happy and successful life. And I'm happy for teachers in church who taught me about Jesus. There were some really good teachers in the Sunday school when I was growing up, and I really remember all the things that they taught me. Number 4 is friends. I'm thankful for friends who spend time with me doing things together, like riding bicycle or performing music together. Number 3, I'm thankful for my parents and my grandparents. My father is no longer with us, but my mother is 92 and will be 93 before too long. So I'm thankful for parents who loved me and took good care of me when I was growing up. And for grandparents who taught me some valuable lessons. I lived next door to my grandparents, and that was a great experience. Number 2, I'm thankful for my family, for my wife Kathy, my 3 children, and my 6 grandchildren, and all that they mean to our family. And then number 1, I'm thankful for Jesus. Jesus is number 1 on my list because he loved me so much that he was willing to die and go on the cross, that I could know him and know eternal life. So that's my list. Maybe you can put together your own list before Thanksgiving Day of the things you're thankful for. And maybe this puzzle will help get you thinking about that. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So enjoy your day on Thursday, and don't forget to give thanks to God for all the blessings he's given you. Let's say a prayer. God, we thank you for all your wonderful blessings. We thank you for these children who are learning about you and growing in you. And we just pray that you would bless them and their families, especially as they gather together as family this Thursday to celebrate Thanksgiving and to give you thanks for all the good things in their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're going to go back to your parents this morning, okay?
And now I'll read our morning scripture from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven us. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And now for this morning's message from Pastor Dennis.
Way back in 1849, the Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky found himself before a firing squad condemned to death for insurrection by Tsar Nicholas I. But at the last moment, a note from the Tsar was delivered commuting the sentence to 10 years of hard labor in Siberia. It was a comeback from the dead kind of moment for Dostoevsky, and he forever after possessed a profound sense of gratitude. Even during those 10 years in Siberia, and in spite of a lifelong time of suffering with epilepsy. In 1954, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was released from the hospital to go home to die. He wrote, "I did not die, however. With a hopelessly neglected and acutely malignant tumor, this was a divine miracle. I could see no other explanation. Since then, all the life that has been given back to me has not been mine in the full sense. It was built around a purpose." You know, for most of us, the blessings of life are probably not so dramatic or life-altering as they were for Dostoevsky or Solzhenitsyn. But I wonder, unless we take some intentional time to think about the blessings in our own lives, most of us, I suspect, tend to take a lot of them for granted. You take approximately 23,000 breaths a day. But when was the last time you thanked God for one of them? We tend to thank God for the things that take our breath away, and we should. But also, we should be thanking him for those 23,000 breaths and the breathable air that we take in each day. Early 20th century writer and lay theologian G.K. Chesterton said, "You say grace before meals, all right, but I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and the pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching and painting, swimming, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." And writing in his notes from the underground, Dostoevsky says that humanity, if he is not stupid, he is monstrously ungrateful. And 20th century philosopher Albert Camus also wrote, "Man's first faculty is forgetting." And Oz Guinness writes that ingratitude and forgetfulness are ultimately moral rather than mental. They're a direct expression of sin. I think the forgetfulness of which Guinness was speaking is not carelessness, like I forgot my car keys or I forgot my cell phone. I do that a lot. This kind of forgetfulness is a failure to understand that everything we have is a gift. Everything we are, everything we've been given, everything we hope for is a gift. What makes ingratitude and forgetfulness sin is that they're rooted in that reason for all sin, self-centeredness. There's a TV cartoon character for whom I have absolutely no regard and no patience whatsoever, but I'm going to use him as a sermon illustration this morning. Bart Simpson. When asked to say grace at supper one time, he said, "Dear God, we pay for all this ourselves, so thanks for nothing." Ungratefulness and forgetfulness are an expression of sin because they grow in us from a belief that everything we are, have, and hope for are from our own efforts and abilities. I think there's two things that are vital to a sense of gratitude. First is a sense of our total dependency on everything in life. And second is a sense of indebtedness for life's blessings, a belief that you owe something back to God for the blessings of life. Oz Guinness, in his book, The Call, says the modern world has subverted both of those things. He writes, "On one hand, it has transformed a sense of dependency into a sense of autonomy. Man does not live by bread alone," Jesus said. "But that was yesterday," says our modern world. "Today, man can live extremely well on bread alone, or at least on reason alone, on technology alone, on sex alone, or on shopping alone." On the other hand, the modern world has transformed a sense of debt into a sense of rights and entitlement. Thus, the modern world sees no need for God and therefore produces modern people with no sense of gratitude. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, the Apostle Paul asks, "What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive?" Obviously, Bart Simpson or the show's writers never stopped to think about where the money came from to pay for all that was on the table before them, or where the ability to earn the money to pay for the food came from, or where the table the food was on came from, or the farmer who grew the food, or the one who provided the rain to water the plants to provide the food. What do you have that you did not receive? G.K. Chesterton once said this, "Nothing taken for granted, everything received with gratitude, everything passed on with grace." Those words that Linda read from Deuteronomy 26 are all about expressing proper gratitude. These verses also illustrate those three points that Chesterton makes, that take nothing for granted, receive everything with gratitude, and pass on everything with grace. They teach that gratitude must be our first and proper response to God's gracious love and provision. Author Gordon MacDonald tells of taking his 3-year-old grandson to Chuck E. Cheese's for pizza and all those noisy rides that they have in Chuck E. Cheese, if you've ever been there. When they were leaving, his grandmother buckled the 3-year-old into the car seat and said, "Now be sure to thank your papa." There was silence, no reaction. So she said again, "Did you hear me? Be sure to say thank you to papa." But again, no response. MacDonald says he first ignored that backseat conversation, but then changed his mind and said, "You know, papa enjoys doing nice things for his grandchildren, especially when they say thank you." More silence. "Did you hear, papa?" he asked, just getting a little bit irritated. Finally, though, there was response. "Uh-huh." But there was still no thank you. And getting a little upset, MacDonald asked, "Are you ignoring me?" Then his grandson responded, "I am thankful, papa. I just don't feel like saying it." I think we need to say it. Listen again to those first 4 verses of Deuteronomy 26. "When you enter the land your God, the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you've conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, to the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, with this gift I acknowledge the Lord your God, that I have entered the land he swore to our ancestors he would give us. The priest then will take the basket from your hand and set it on the altar before the Lord your God. You see, the land was God's gift, a very special possession for God's people. The land produced for the people abundant crops from which they were able to take that first of the harvest and bring it to that designated place of worship, and then say to the priest, with this gift, I acknowledge the Lord your God, that I have entered the land he swore to our ancestors he would give us. The people were to express their gratitude to God by acknowledging in words spoken to the priest God's gift of the land and God's faithfulness in keeping the promise God had made to their ancestors. Expressing our gratitude in words necessitates that we give some active thought to the reasons for our gratitude. And that gift of land also included a requirement of reciprocity. God gave the land and the people were to give back to God the first of the harvest in gratitude for the gift. They were to express their gratitude by bringing the first and the best produce of the crop. Now, I don't know about you, but once that first tiny green tomato forms on the plant, I'm checking it pretty often to see if it's growing and then ripening. And that first red ripe tomato is pretty special. And to give it up, that would be difficult. But by bringing the first of the harvest as an act of worship, the people were not only expressing their gratitude, but also their trust that God would provide for them through the remainder of the harvest. They were expressing their dependency on God. The land God had given them was the means of God's blessing on his people. The land provided for them a home. It provided food and water. It provided a means of livelihood. The land was not just a place. It was a source of God's blessing for his people on earth. You know, in this part of the world in which we live, we see many farms. And while some of us, maybe most of us, might not farm the land, most of us aren't growing, and most of us aren't growing crops to sustain our lives. Rather, we go to Dutch Way or Hornings or Weis or Giant. And what sustains our lives largely comes cleaned, wrapped, and ready to eat. The land doesn't play as important a role in most of our daily lives as it did for those in the past. Yet somewhere, God's gift of the land is also providing for us. Not being so directly involved in the production of what we enjoy, it's too easy for us to take it all for granted. Faced with this tendency to take things for granted, the 46th Psalm gives us some good advice. In verse 8, the psalmist writes, "Come and behold the works of the Lord." Eugene Peterson says, take a long scrutinizing look at what God is doing. This requires patient attentiveness and energetic concentration. Everybody else is noisier than God. The headlines, the neon lights, and the amplifying systems of the world announce human works. But what of God's works? They are unadvertised, but also inescapable if we simply look. They're everywhere. They're marvelous, but God has no public relations agency. He mounts no publicity campaign to get our attention. He simply invites us to take a look. Second invitation in the same psalm is this: be still and know that I am God. Be still. Quit rushing through life long enough to become aware that there is more to it than our little self-centered enterprises. When we're hurried, when we're so focused on getting things done, being places on time, or making sure everything is right, which certainly might be something that can happen to us this Thursday as we prepare Thanksgiving. When we're hurried and otherwise focused, it's difficult to appreciate the goodness and the greatness of God. So I want to offer you three things this morning that can be helpful in developing an attitude of gratitude. Three attitudes that will be easy to remember. Oz Guinness said them. Nothing taken for granted, everything received with gratitude, everything passed on with grace. So that first thing, take nothing for granted. Realize your dependency on God and God's goodness and provision, and acknowledge God as your sustainer and provider, and then say thanks and give him worship. For the second first thing, let's go back to Deuteronomy 26 for a moment and those other verses, 5 through 10. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, my ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived, few in number, but in Egypt they became large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground and worship before him. The people were instructed to remember their story. Not just remember, but to say the story, to recite the story of God's actions on behalf of their ancestor Jacob until they were in the land flowing with milk and honey, which God had given them. And in recalling their story, they were reminded that not all of it was good. There were times when they saw hardship, toil, and oppression. Henry J.M. Nouwen says this, to be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy, but to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we're only truly grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to the present moment. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see it in the guiding hand of a loving God. You see, in the heat of the moment, we rarely see the challenges of life as things to be grateful for. But as we grow older, we often find that in hindsight, they were indeed blessings, something for which we can be grateful. A sense of gratitude is rarely confined to what we're experiencing in the present moments. More often than not, the present moment is a culmination of many givings from God along the way. So the second first thing, count your blessings. Remember what God has done. Receive it all, the good, the bad, the blessings, the challenges. Receive it all with gratitude. As the Apostle Paul said, give thanks in all circumstances. And then the writer of Deuteronomy concludes in verse 11, afterward you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. After you have acknowledged God's goodness and provision, after you've counted all your blessings, then go and celebrate. Then go and have that turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes and gravy, pumpkin pie and whipped cream and pumpkin rolls. Then spend time with family visiting and watching football. Celebrate, but only after, because of all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. Ah, but there's one more thing in verse 11. The New Living Translation says it this way. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. Proper thanksgiving always includes those who cannot easily fend for themselves. First, he mentions the Levites, that landless priestly tribe who needed to rely on the gifts of the Israelites for their survival. And second, he mentions the foreigners, the aliens, the strangers, the immigrants who had come to Israel for safety, for sustenance, maybe driven from their homes by war or famine. God's instruction to the Israelites says that part of an appropriate expression of gratitude for God's gifts of land and its bounty is to share the bounty. A true sense of gratitude which honors God means that all must be full. If there are any hungry among us, the complete intentions of God's gifts have been thwarted, and thanksgiving is not complete. In other words, everything is to be passed on with grace, just as we've received everything by the grace of God. We've been amazingly blessed. We are indebted to God for these many blessings, and our payment on the debt is to share the blessings. As we've been blessed by a God of grace and love, we're to celebrate God's rich blessings and then pass them on with grace. Paul reminds us in Colossians 3, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So that third first thing, celebrate God's goodness, pass on the blessing with grace. Stories told about a woman who showed up at church and prayed the same simple prayer each time she was in church. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. The kids at the church would start laughing every time she opened her mouth because they knew it would be the same prayer. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Finally, one of them asked her, why do you pray that same little prayer? And she said, well, I'm just combining the two prayers that I know. We live in a bad neighborhood, and some nights there are bullets flying, and I have to grab my daughter and hide on the floor. And in that desperate state, all I know how to cry out is, oh Lord. But when I wake up in the morning and see that we're okay, I say, thank you, Jesus. And when I take my baby to the bus stop and she gets on that bus, and I don't know what's going to happen to her while she's away, I cry, oh Lord. And then when 3 p.m. comes around and she gets off that bus and she's safe, I say, thank you, Jesus. She said, those are the only two prayers I know. And when I go to church, God has been so good, I just put my two prayers together. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. She developed an attitude of gratitude, an attitude that grows within us as we remember those blessings of God's grace and love. And if we really take time to count our blessings, what often becomes obvious is that the good in our lives far outweighs the bad. Gratitude must be our first and constant response to God in all circumstances. Nothing taken for granted. Everything received with gratitude. Everything passed on with grace. Your blessings. Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn. What do you have that you have not received from our God? The good, the bad, the challenging. Give thanks in everything. Count your many blessings and go in Christ's peace. Amen.